town. Life takes its time. But the second side of the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
John,
can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. You're a little low, but that could be me. So please hold. Let me check. Let me check. Nope, not me right here. Those numbers are good. You having computer trouble today?
No.
Well, you had something trouble.
Oh, yeah. No, my email. It's not my computer. It's the email service guy.
Oh. Blame that guy.
You want me to turn my volume up?
Nope. I do not. I'm going to turn you up here. Because everything is set right, so we're good. Okay. Check in here. There you go.
Okay, good to go.
Oh, you killed that.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 17th of February, 2026.
Exciting.
Halfway through the month.
Well, what's exciting about today?
What?
It's Shrove Tuesday.
What Tuesday?
Shrove. S-H-R-O-V-E. Or Shrove. Shrove. Shrove Tuesday.
Shrove.
Shrove. You know what that is?
It's the day before they bring out the minutes from the Fed? I don't know.
It is the same as Fat Tuesday. It's the day before. I mean, the Jew has had to teach so many Christians this. It is the day before Ash Wednesday and a couple days before Lent.
Oh, thank you, Jew.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand. I mean, come on. It's a Fat Tuesday. It's also, while we're on the subject of what is today, it's also the beginning of the Chinese Lunar New Year.
Ah, yes.
So there's a lot of importance with today.
Mooncake time.
Yeah. What's going on? I don't understand how you didn't know any of this stuff.
Time flies.
So it's a good day. It's a good Tuesday. I actually went to a New York style Chinese buffet dinner that was delicious.
New York style Chinese buffet. Yeah,
it was a buffet. It just happened to be buffet
dinner. It's all a mishmash.
It was delicious. It was sticky ribs and it had shrimp and lobster sauce and it had fried rice and bao buns and pork buns and char siu and beef with broccoli. List goes on. Egg rolls. It's delicious.
This is in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, it's my club. Yes, my club.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you can get Chinese there.
Well, that's probably the only place.
We have plenty, by the way, in this area.
Yeah, you have the good Chinese. We have horrible. When I say horrible,
well, we have all the styles. We have the Hunan Chinese. We got the Beijing style, Shanghai. We have the Cantonese. We have Taiwanese style.
Wow.
We have a mixture of these different styles. We have modern Chinese, the stuff they're cooking in China right now. They have places like that here. We have old-fashioned Chinese, egg foo young stuff.
And do you go out to these places?
Nah, once in a while.
You got it right. It's like the people that live in New York. Have you gone to the theater? No.
Why bother?
Why would I go to the theater?
It's always going to be here. Yes. What's the rush?
When I'm good and ready, I'll go to the theater. Oh, you're crazy. All right, what do we got to talk about tonight? We have, a new Close to the Pin is announced tonight. This is what you've asked for. Last time we did this was like 2017. This particular stock. So we'll talk about that.
We picked it last show.
We did pick it last show, but we're announcing it this show.
Oh, I see.
It's all ready to go. It was announced actually on Twitter yesterday, but we'll talk about that and stay tuned because you too can join in on the fun. China releasing new AI models, AI breakdown. We're on AI overload. Everything is AI, AI, oh.
AI.
It's unbelievable. We have some big employment news that happened last week. Very exciting for the markets. Mm. And when it comes to the markets, there's a couple things that we need to discuss. For example, the self-created valuation boosts, which there is something, if you're wondering what that is, how could that be? Some of the topics we talked about the circular financing and the inventory lending for inventory and the inventory stuffing and the kind of vendor financing and all this other stuff and all these unbelievable valuations. There is clearly something that happened this week, just yesterday, I think it was, that shows how basically we're creating valuations out of thin air. Whatever we want to be the number is the number that we can put on it. So we'll talk about that. And playing them like a fiddle, Warner Brothers, with, again, you know, the Warner Brothers is playing the Skydance and Paramount and Netflix. Oh, just got to keep on creeping this up. By this timeline, they should be done in about 2035.
It sounds about right.
It's unbelievable how they allow this to happen. Jerking everybody around for forever. So, two quick notes. If anybody listening right now has an annuity, we are going to rip up the playbook on something this week on the Disciplined Investor podcast. Anyone who owns annuity should listen to what is about to come on next Sunday's show. It's going to be, what's the date of that? It's going to release on, what's Sunday's date? Do we know? 22nd. The 22nd. So this is going to be something I think you need to listen to over on the Disciplined Investor podcast. Also, I want to mention, since we're talking about podcasts, we can't talk about, you just cannot have the notion of talking about a podcast unless you mention No Agenda Show. It's we're
did
part.
You listen to the last show?
I did not. I'll be honest. I've been out of my mind busy. Why? What happened?
Well, Adam gave this show a huge plug.
He did.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to listen now. I teed it up. I have to be in Naples, Florida this weekend.
Oh, it's a good time to listen.
And I have to, exactly. That was my plan. So I didn't want to ruin it for the ride because it's exactly the ride. It's like a 3.5 hour ride. So it'd be perfect.
It's the same with the show as a 3.5 hour ride.
Yeah. So, so I'm going to write this down. I knew I was doing this, but I'm writing it down anyway. I don't know why I'm writing it down because I knew I was doing it. That's dumb. All right, let's talk about the Olympics real quick, and then we'll get into all this other stuff. You watching anything? Anything surprising, exciting?
I watched the jumpers. I think the ski jump is always kind of interesting. They watch these guys flying in the air and with this perfect form, and then they land, and they don't use it. They just ski. They ski like the skis are part of them. It's quite fascinating that they're very talented. Watched that. I didn't get to see the guy fall, our great skater, the quad god guy, this character.
The other guy, though, was the only skating I watched, literally, was the guy that won the gold from Kazakhstan or whatever.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Those spins in the air are just unbelievable.
Yeah, these skaters are pretty astonishing.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the ski jumping, the guy goes up, goes down the hill, and flies up, right? You know, he jumps off or jumps up, and his skis go out a certain way to catch the air just perfectly to keep him hydraulic, what's the word called?
Lifted.
Lifted. Puts his arms out and hands in a certain way to keep him lifted, right?
Yeah.
You know what I noticed on some of these guys? They open their mouth wide.
Oh, I have not noticed this.
Open their mouth wide so that air that... Instead of
so the air goes through them.
No, it doesn't go
the front, not the back. Is that the idea?
No,
so it's like a jet engine.
It, almost so that it the air has a pushing effect. Another point on the body that the air doesn't streamline over. It pushes and creates more aerodynamic lift. Seriously,
it could be.
I thought it was really fascinating. I watched like three guys do that. I'm like, why are their mouths open? I don't understand.
I don't know why they don't wear a fin or something.
A little something, right?
Well, they do have the padded crotch, supposedly, gives them a little more lift.
Mm. I watched the curling, of course. And what else did I watch that was good? The speed skating on the short course. Constant crashes. That's fun.
Oh, that would have been fun to
watch. Yeah, that's fun. And one of them where the guy went sliding in with his foot up, and it was like looking like that skate was going to just rip right into his neck. The guy that he was running into. Oh, it was scary as hell. All right, let's talk about Money for All, shall we? Big news about this. This is tax time. Tax season is starting right now. The average tax refund is, get this, 10.9% higher so far this season compared to about the same point in 2025, according to the early filing data by the IRS. The 2026 tax season opened up officially on January 26th, and the average refund amount was $2,290 as of February 6th, up from $2,065 from about a year prior. So the total amount refund is about $16.9 billion already, which is about 2% higher than last year. And why is that?
Because so they can donate to the DH Unplugged show.
Of course.
By going to the website and clicking on the donate button.
That's exactly what you should be doing right now. That was a great setup. Little donate button on dhunplugged.com. In the show notes for this episode also, episode number 791. But one of the reasons they're getting this money back is because there were excess withholdings made about a year ago. When the rules changed and the paycheck withholdings weren't adjusted. So everybody was like going by these rules and, you know, creating the amount that they should withhold, the W-4 numbers and what the withholding amount would be. And then the numbers changed, but they didn't send in an update to change any of that. This is a one-time situation. It's not going to be the same because you're going to actually have that adjustment. Now, what may happen is, which we've seen before, is when you don't withhold enough. So people are going to think, well, last year I got so much money back, a lot more than I anticipated. I bet the same thing's going to happen next year. So they either change their withholding.
So the joke will be on them.
Yeah, it could be a problem. But all these things, pretty good how all these things are coming into place, right? We have the pull forward effect from tariffs. We have extra money from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. We have all this money coming from CapEx expenditures by technology firms. We have excess money coming from incorrectly dialed in tax withholding. Pretty good. Now, is this artificial, one time, going to be a big disappointment on the back end? I don't know that answer. But as of right now, things are pretty hunky-dory. I don't think there's any complaints right now.
That's good.
And you look at the employment numbers, 4.3%. Everybody was like freaking out. Oh, my God. You know, employment's rising. Went to 4.5. You know, we saw that, you know, oh, it's going to be like a sub-50,000 number again. Meanwhile, we saw a big number, much better than expected. Jobs gain in the latest update that came out last Wednesday. The problem is that overall in 2025, somehow, by the way, with all that I'm about to say, with all this data that's going to be shocking, somehow we're still at a 4.3% unemployment rate. This huge revision was released last Wednesday. This revision is something that happens regularly. It's this different models they use and how they do estimates, and then they come back and they revise. Overall, 2025 job growth was much weaker than was first reported. The first change they put out, the first revision, was down from a positive 584,000 jobs that were gained throughout the year, which is what? That would be 45,000 a month on average.
Yeah.
To just 181,000 jobs, an average of only 15,000 added per month instead of the 50,000. One of the weakest years for job creation in recent non-recession periods. Now, if we fast forward and we look at from the last revision to the full year revision that was done by Martin, for the end of March, you know, when it was done in March, that level was now 898,000 jobs. And when we look at the full year, so it was last March to March and now December, over 1 million jobs never existed.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. Monthly change rate also adjusted downward in most cases. The revisions reflect annual benchmarking, one of the, again, unusually large one, larger than 0.2% average than the prior the decade. So overestimation of business births and other data mismatches. In short, what this says is that we have much softer jobs market than the headline suggested over time. But what I always find is, at the time of a report a much better number, markets will be really happy, and then in the end, come back and revise, and nobody cares anymore. Do we care that a year ago there was a $50,000 differential or $100,000 differential in the number when we revise it today? I don't think so.
It was not dollars, people.
They don't care, right?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about anything, it seems.
That's a good point you make there. I mean, why do you say that, though? I mean, what do you think it is?
Well, I mean, whatever happens, you know, there's a large part of the public and population that doesn't care because they've seen this, they've seen that, and they care. It doesn't make a difference. That's what I think part of it. Caring doesn't help. Market seems to have a mind of its own when it comes to the investors. So it's going to do what it's going to do, and just you can care or not care. It doesn't matter. And all the old benchmarks don't work. We're looking for new ones. We spend all of our time looking for new benchmarks, you know, the new, well, if, you know, like all these, all the kinds of crossover points and red flags and crosses of doom and all the things that the market used to signal this and signal that. That doesn't even work anymore. You got to find new ones because the ones that used to work don't work. So nobody cares. It's like, okay, well, let's find something that gives us some insight to what's going to happen, and we can't find it. At least I haven't seen anything that's worthwhile.
What are they going to – what would make people care? And I think this stretches more than just the market.
I think universal draft would make people care.
Oh, yeah.
That would make people care. That would
make people stand up and notice.
Yeah, something like that.
Universal draft up to 40.
A bad earthquake, you'd care for a while there. It wouldn't be good. The flooding seems to get people concerned. How's the weather down there, by the way?
Here? It's beautiful.
You clear up?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like 75 degrees and perfect.
That's perfect.
Right where it should be. There was another item about nobody cares anymore, and I think this has to do with why this is happening. Let me find this here. Where was that? There was an interesting story about polls. Let me find this. Okay. Gallup, this goes right along with what you're saying, I think. Gallup, you know, the pollsters?
Yeah.
Will no longer track presidential approval ratings for approval ratings after doing it for like 90 years.
Right.
Founded in 1935. The management company began tracking the presidential job performance 88 years ago. And Gallup told the USA Today that favorability ratings on political figures reflects an evolution of how Gallup focuses public research and thought leadership. It's not going to happen anymore. They said the ratings were widely produced, aggregated, and interpreted, and no longer represent an area, listen to this carefully, where Gallup can make its most distinctive contribution. Our contribution is long-term methodology, blah, 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 that shape people's lives, he wrote. So wait a second. Did you talk about this on No Agenda?
No.
What does that all sound like to you, that they're not doing it anymore? I'll repeat this, and I'll highlight these points. They said the ratings are now widely produced, aggregated, and interpreted, and no longer represent an area where Gallup can make its most distinctive contribution. Because why? Because, you know, you can find this stuff anywhere right now. People are looking in multiple places to find this, and Gallup could...
There's 10 or 20 operations doing the same polling.
My interpretation of this is where they said that our commitment to the long-term methodology and sound research on issues with conditions that shape people's lives. You take shape people's lives and what they could do to make a distinctive contribution, they no longer believe they can twist people into believing something that they want you to believe.
Well, that's a kind of an onerous interpretation.
Well,
they could also be realizing that people don't care.
Well, that's the other point. But I think they're unable to shape opinion due to things like social media. So they're
just social media has definitely screwed thrown a wrench in the works.
Yeah. And Kelly,
there's a lot of people out there that won't take a poll. They don't trust the pollsters. They think they're going to be tricked, or they think their information is going to be revealed, or their privacy is going to be breached. And so the pollsters have a limit. People say, yeah, I'll take the poll. I'm one of them, by the way. I always take polls. I get involved. I take polls. I also go to focus groups. I do everything. But a lot of people won't. No, I'm not going to talk to these guys.
I do any poll. I tell the pollster.
Use the results.
I tell the pollster, listen, I'll do the poll. Send me $100 right now, and I'll be happy to take the poll. They're like, well, we don't pay. I'm like, well, why should I be doing this for free?
You're an example. Now, I have been paid, but I don't ask for the payment.
And they don't pay much.
$100. You hit the number.
Oh.
That's typically, if you go to a focus group, it's $100 cash. Boom. Here you go.
I would do that. I haven't. Always paid
focus
me.
Groups
they
just
hang
the
up.
Best.
They just hang up on me.
Yeah, but if you get to go to a focus group where you have to actually go in person and sit around, those are the best because you get to because it's always a trick.
Yeah,
I've never been to a focus group that hasn't been a trick. They lead you down some primrose path of a way to think, and so when people start to get to the agreement about it, then they pull the rug out from under you with a switcheroo. Always at the very end they switch and say, well, what if it was this, and then they reveal something that is like, oh well, we didn't know that. Well, that's okay. Well, I think that's great. It's pretty funny. Yeah. I would recommend if anyone gets to go to a focus group to do it.
Sounds like fun. Going to be some interesting people you meet?
No.
Not really?
I don't meet anyone interesting.
You don't?
No, it's just people like, you know, just normal people. It's just nobody's, you know, remotely interesting. Hmm. But it's, you get to hear some interesting opinions, but it's very guided. It's very interesting to experience. Yep. I've done probably 5.
Wow. You want to talk about AI? Because there's a lot of things to talk about in the AI world. And a little, have we talked about on this show the educational component of the to our listeners about the differences in AI, base AI, machine learning, large language models, all the way through inference and agentics? Have we talked about this?
No.
All right. I got a great infographic. That I put together.
Yep. An infographic.
Yes, an infographic. Hold on to your seats. That's right. Announcing the latest DH Unplugged infographic on show episode number 791. But let's talk about what's going on in the world of AI first. While U.S. markets have been...
I don't see it on the... Oh, here it is. Okay, never mind.
We're not there yet. Don't get ahead. Okay, don't get ahead.
I'm going down the rundown.
So you say infographic, see what it does to John? He gets crazy. He just gets crazy.
I haven't heard that word for about 3 years.
So in the U.S., markets have been really focused on the impact of things like, you know, the Anthropic threat to the financial industry with the Altius tool on software, legal with Anthropic, and China's tech giants have released AI models this week that have shown advancements in robotics and video generation. So Google first is reporting that China's AI models are just now months behind Western models. And might I say, without the use of the most powerful chips by NVIDIA, because they can't get those, supposedly.
Yeah. Right? And I think it's probably part of the reason why.
Is what? They're using alternate chips?
What they've done is they've used the lesser chips, and they've had to make their code more efficient. They've had to go with some newer theoretical models to run, and I think it's probably a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I don't know if this is progress or not, but in a video demo, Alibaba showed a robot with pincers for hands that appeared to be able to count oranges, pick them up, and place them in a basket. It was also shown taking milk out of a fridge.
Wow. Gee.
These are breakthroughs like never before. Life-changing.
Really? Nothing like Topo, the robot that Nolan Bushnell rolled out in the 1980s that went and grabbed a beer for you.
Yeah, this is a robot that can count oranges. You know, I got to tell you, there have been many occasions when I felt that I really should count the oranges in my refrigerator. Because I can't. Yeah, I don't think I can go the rest of the day.
Yeah, you won't have to worry about it.
I could be in the office and say, you know what? God, I wish there was somebody that can count oranges at my house and let me know. Because I don't think I could work another minute without knowing. I'll have to drive 45 minutes back to the house, count them, and come back. So Alibaba on Monday unveiled a new artificial intelligence model called Qwen 3.5, designed to execute complex tasks independently with big improvements in performance and cost that the Chinese tech giant claims beat U.S. major rivals on several benchmarks. Zaipu AI, which trades as Knowledge Atlas Technology in Hong Kong, said the model approached Anthropic's Claude 4.5 in coding benchmarks, which surpassed Google's Gemini 3 Pro in some tests, and shares of Minimax jumped last Thursday when it launched its updated M2.5 open source model with enhanced AI agents. Point of all this is that, you know, a lot more people, and I was at dinner tonight with a lot of people, they were talking about AI, what they do with it, silly things, or one of my friends in particular does a lot of work in the tech industry. He has Word documents with pre-done prompts that are very...
Pre-done what?
Prompts. You know, like...
Oh, prompts. Yeah,
prompts that are very detailed and specific to tasks that he uses over and over and over in his AI quest, plus reminders and stuff. He was telling us a great story tonight about that. Anyways, interesting things. But one of the things I thought was interesting is Grok, which I've been using more often, which is Elon Musk's AI chatbot.
Yeah, I like Grok.
It's been gaining ground in the U.S. over the past months, even as the the big global censorship and regulatory scrutiny because of the generation of, they call it non-consensual sexualized images of women and minors, but a person in a bikini, to me, is that sexualized? Is it? Maybe.
No, it's more of a form of ridicule. Nothing to do with sex.
You know, you say that take this person's picture and put them in a bikini.
Put them in a bikini.
I don't know. Minors, okay, you don't mess with minors. Let's just get that straight. But I don't know. It seems kind
of
crazy.
Most of the bikini shots I've seen, they put Keir Starmer, the British prime minister, he gets put in a bikini, I think, more than anyone.
It was, the whole thing I don't understand. But anyway, they're under scrutiny from this whole thing. Clearly with minors is a problem, but the U.S. market, maybe this is the no news is bad news. What is that phrase? All news is good news?
The only good news is bad news.
No.
Oh, the only good... No, how's it go? I don't know.
It's something like, you know, there's no bad publicity.
There you go.
Is that the one? That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No bad there's publicity.
No such thing.
No such thing as bad publicity. So yeah, it's U.S.
not
market.
True.
Yeah, it's not true?
No, it's not true.
Well, U.S. market share of Grok rose to 17.8% last month from 14% in December. And it was up pretty nicely. Men are still the largest percent users of Grok, about 78%, which is down from about 89% in April of 25. Now, during the same period of time, interestingly enough, ChatGPT, its share of the market slumped to 52.9% last month from 80.9% in January last year, while Gemini's grew to 29.4%, from 17.3%. Now, before we look at this chart, well, we can look at the chart, and I want to ask you a question. There's a chart on there that says AI market share.
Yeah.
You can see this is a 100% chart that shows ChatGPT OpenAI's baby. Gemini, which is, of course, Google. And Grok, which is XAI. And you can see the trend. I mean, back in January, a year ago, January 2025, 80% of the market was ChatGPT.
Yeah, it's because it hit the market first.
It did. But it hit it before that. But yes, Grok had nothing. Grok is growing steadily, and so is Gemini. To the detriment of the share that is owned that was owned by ChatGPT. Now, about 6 months ago when they held whatever market share they had, ChatGPT, of course, OpenAI, pledged all sorts of money to all sorts of companies with the idea that they had this projection.
We tracked it to the dime.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, here it comes.
Here it goes. $1.1 trillion and 50 cents is expected to be the money that was paid to all these companies.
We're giving it to you if you give it to us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you give us $1.1 trillion, you give it back to us.
We'll give it to you. You give it to that guy who's going to give it to us.
Right, and then you give it back to us. We'll give it back to you, and now we give you $2.2
trillion. Some more.
You'll give you $2.2 trillion. So the interesting thing here is that was all those numbers and valuations were based on that, and nobody's adjusting their numbers anymore. Now, what if the whole idea is OpenAI and Altman came up with the shenanigans of what their estimated revenue would be down the road? What if we did the same thing here and said, well, you know, your share shrank from 89% to 55%, so therefore in 3 years you're going to be zero? No, we don't do that. We don't. Those kinds of trends don't exist.
And we don't even have the Chinese stuff on this chart.
So dumb. So dumb. So, all right. You want to talk about a little bit about, I did a little something here. You can read about this. We'll kind of blow through this pretty quickly, but you can read about this because I think a lot of people still don't understand all the differentials. I don't think I do either, with all the possible differentials and types of AI that's out there and where we are right now and where we're going. So where we are right now is still in the, I guess, ingestion stage of the large language models, grabbing data, grabbing information, which again, we gladly give for free because that's where we are. We go on Reddit, we go on Facebook, and any other open platform, public platform, and just spill our guts and tell everybody what we like, where we are, all of our deepest thoughts, our analysis. We talk about things, we argue on Twitter. It's all grabbed, it's all absorbed and spit back at us. This is kind of, you know, the baseline AI at its core. What it does is it lets machines perform tasks of some sort that usually requires, you know, human intellect. Things like understanding language and recognizing images, making decisions, solving problems. You know, you could put
counting
in
counting oranges.
Yeah, counting oranges. So that's right. Big problem. Big. They call that the TAM, the total addressable market for need for counting oranges is enormous. So these are repetitive tasks that can be created, helped, you know, things like, I have an Excel spreadsheet. I know what I want to do. I don't know how to do it. I could write it in a natural language and ask Excel to create the code or ask Copilot to create the code in Excel. Now, modern AI, since, you know, past 2022, and AI has been around for a very long time. I remember many years ago, I was fascinated. There was a charting and analysis software that used neural networks to learn, to figure out. I was fascinated. Didn't work for shit, by the way. But I got the program. I checked it out for a while. I'm like, this doesn't work. But it's really cool, the idea, right?
Oh, the idea is cool.
If it worked, but it didn't work. Modern AI post-2022 machine learning. Systems that learn patterns from huge amounts of data called large language models, instead of being explicitly programmed rule by rule. So you don't have to have an if-then. You know, if the number is greater than one equals true, you know, it's the answer is true. If the number is less than or equal to One, it's a false. And then, you know, you have binary code that figures all this out and gives you some kind of, I don't know, some answer to something. So that's kind of the next level where we are. But where are we going? Where is NVIDIA and all these companies want to get you to? Well, next stage is called inference. This is using or applying these large language models and taking these inputs and producing an output prediction or answer. Kind of where we're on the edge of. Not totally there yet. Because right now we're seeing, I think, a repackage. Don't you think it's like a repackaged answer? You know, they go out, they look at all this stuff, and they kind of very cleverly give you an answer that has already been presented out there. It's not necessarily new.
They're not dreaming it. They're not doing original research.
Right, right. So
what is piecing together what's out there and making it kind of make sense.
I did a whole thing on Grok where I said, let's see if I can bring this up, if it comes up here. I did a whole question. I'm not signed in. I did a whole question on Grok about the disappearance of Guthrie. And I gave all this information and I said, think hard and long about this. What actually happened? To try to solve it. came up with some crazy stuff. You know, like, you know, looking at this, it looks like the doorbell cam was staged to make it look like it was somebody, but it wasn't. And this whole other ordeal that went through, kind of silly, but maybe. But inference now, it takes these inputs and produces an output. It contrasts with the training phase, right? The learning process. This is kind of where the large language models are being absorbed or sucked in or vacuumed up on that. And then, you know, you get this training process and all this, and it kind of goes through all these, you know, billions of parameters based on examples, very compute heavy, very expensive, using water. We talked about the amount of water that's used, right? We talked about the amount of energy that's used, and that's why we have the gigawatt and the nuclear power and the, you know, the hydrogen and I don't know, whatever else is out there. And then you have beyond inference, which would be loved to be got to that point. You have agentic, which is like the holy grail at this point, a little bit at least. It takes the chat models and all that to the next level. Instead of just answering questions or generating text, these systems will act autonomously. And what they do is have some kind of goal. It may be like, for example, back to our oranges. It notices that you have 3 oranges left and you eat on average 6 per week. It orders something from Amazon Fresh and you get it delivered the next day. And of course you have some robotic thing putting it in your refrigerator for you. Very simple example, but something like that. Or maybe, you know, you talk to somebody, it's listening, and you talk about maybe I'll visit you next month in Albuquerque, and it starts spitting out potential flights that fit your current schedule, that meet your criteria to visit this particular person from your airport there, and maybe puts those tickets on hold for you. Or something of that nature. So, and it gets much more complicated than that. Anyway, there's an infographic there. You like that? It's very simple.
Well, I'm familiar with the better infographics.
You are? More color?
No, more arrows and more. This is more not really. Technically, I don't. I would. If you put this in front of me and said it was an infographic or said, describe this to me, I would never describe it as an infographic.
Oh, no?
No.
Mm. What would you call it?
Just a piece of, just an illustration.
Illustration. This is an illustration. You can find it on DH Unplugged, episode number 791.
There's no connection between anything. Infographics are like how processes work.
Yeah, you get like a lot more cogs and wheels.
There's a lot more going on.
Yours is arrows that go around and back. Things. Yeah, you got.
And then you got your agentic down at the bottom, which is just a spinning thing. And I think you have to go revisit Well, don't bother because infographics are dead.
Yeah, but, because they're so complicated. That's why I tried to make it less complicated and bring them back. I'm trying to bring them back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not. You're, this is a. No. I would call this an epic fail.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Well, that was created with the AI, by the way. You know,
that makes sense.
You know, but I did go through a couple of different prompts on this. You know what's really fascinating about this? I want to see where it was. You create things like this with AI. Do you have any idea the spelling, not only spelling errors?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But it's not just spelling errors. It's words that don't exist. Like that don't, I don't know why they put a word that's like, you know, WVRZF, you know, three. Like what is that? What is that word even in there for? I don't understand it.
Yeah, the misspelling is ridiculous. I don't understand it. Especially when you tell it to put something in there and you actually spell it.
No, you spell it. And I said twice, you know check your spelling.
Right.
I said, check your spelling. Yeah. Last AI item, a shorter, and remind me to talk to you about the racetrack in a second, okay?
The racetrack.
Yep. The last AI item, a shortage of memory chips, is hammering profits, derailing corporate plans, and inflating price tags on various products, which will... the crunch is expected to last for a while and get worse, by the way. And the reason for the squeeze is the build-out of AI data centers, which companies like, you know, Alphabet and OpenAI and Oracle buying up large shares of memory chip production, leaving once again, because they'll get to the head of the line, consumer electronics producers fighting over this dwindling supply. That's why you see things like the Best Buy, you know, had a little bit of a problem, and Dell is having some problem, and a variety of different companies that utilize the end process for consumers or even, you know, medium-sized companies, non-data centers are paying a fortune. And why you can't have, I think I told you this, but a Dell, corporate Dell order, from what I heard last, was only, you could only have a 5-day hold on the price.
Interesting.
Then they rebook the deal, or not rebook, they reprice it.
Huh.
So big problem.
What goes up must come down.
I would think so. Once they do that, they're going to ramp up production. They don't need it as much anymore, and then they have a too much. You know,
yeah, there'll be a glut.
Glut of it.
So you'll be seeing memory that's just dirt cheap.
Yep. You want to hear what I did on last Friday?
You cooked.
No, I didn't, because I don't have a kitchen right now. It's almost...
Oh, that's right. You're still without a kitchen.
Almost finished.
Well, you can cook outside.
I could. I went to Homestead Raceway. My son got me and him.
This is a horse or greyhound track?
This is a race car track.
Oh, race car.
Yeah, race car. And we got the Italian package, and I drove a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. Three laps each around the track. It's a road track.
Yeah.
Brought it up to 135 miles an hour.
That's nice.
It was pretty cool. And basically, with 5 minutes of training, they sat me in a car with the coach or whatever, with no
seatbelt.
Well, no, a seatbelt. But no, he had no extra brake or anything or steering wheel on his side. And
you know, Ferrari's not hard to drive, but
well, I'm on it, but
I don't think you're a bonehead.
No, I'm
driving into the wall.
No, but I'm down to the my pedal is down to the metal.
Okay, good.
And the Lamborghini was pretty good. You want to hear what it sounded like? I think I have it here.
You have a recording?
I may hear it.
Brakes.
But then you got to look at this one. Let's see if I can find this one here.
Post this on Twitter.
I should, here.
Guys. Keep going. Lift. Break.
About 120 miles an hour right there. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty safe on a track.
Yeah, but it was not just around and around. It was a road track.
Oh, it's a road track.
Yes.
That's okay. Well, that's more fun.
Yeah, to go like, you know, getting 135, I got to slam the brakes, got to turn left, come around, got to pass a car.
Yeah, that's rough. Just going around, because I was on a NASCAR track and I got to 145.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it's going around. going around and around, it's not that hard.
So the first time I went on the Ferrari first, and I'm like, you know, trying to go fast, I'm doing my thing, but I got in the Lamborghini, I felt a little bit more comfortable. I'm like, when he said gas, I'm like, all right, that was that, just straight down. It was fun, a lot of fun. We got an Apple, it was $1,000 a person, all in. Because he had to buy also the insurance, which is $185 for a $4,000 deductible with an $85,000 cap on just the car.
Four laps?
Did six laps. 7.5 miles. No, wow. 2.5 miles, 15 miles.
That's the best insurance miles. Deal ever in terms of an insurance company.
No kidding.
Or find out who the investors were.
And you didn't want to not get it. You're like, oh, man, because, you know, you put a little scratch in the car, it's going to cost $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those cars aren't meant to be damaged.
Yeah. Apple podcast update. Big news. Big news. Apple on Monday announced that it will bring a new integrated video podcast experience for Apple Podcasts. The move comes as, you know, their viewership, as video viewership continues to reshape podcasting. About 37% of people over the age of 12 watch video podcasts monthly. And what's going to happen is it's going to allow Apple to compete better with Spotify and YouTube and now Netflix for that matter. You know, this is interesting about this piece. 20 years ago, Apple helped take podcasting mainstream. By the way, you know when that was? That was when we started.
Yeah.
No Agenda and The Disciplined Investor. What year did No Agenda start?
It was almost 19 years ago.
I think my first show was like, is my show older?
A DH Unplugged might be. No, I mean, I'm not, my Disciplined Investor might be.
Yeah, I think old. I started in 07.
Yeah, you may have us beat. I was podcasting with Leo Laporte a couple years earlier.
I remember. So right at the beginning. I was on the show with you a few times. You don't remember?
Yeah, you actually did some investment work for him for a while until he changed his ideas.
Well, I was at the show in Petaluma. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was a good show when it was, till he turned into a bit of a... Okay, let's move on. we can go on and on about that, can't we? But is he still podcasting?
Yeah, same stuff.
Same thing. Eddie Q is still the senior vice president. He says, by bringing a category-leading video experience to Apple Podcasts, we're putting creators in full control of their content and how they build their businesses. How nice.
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be basically a switch where if you have a video podcast, you'll be able to click a button and switch it over to video versus audio. So kind of interesting. What else do we got here? Let's see. Inflation. Where's that? This is kind of interesting. PepsiCo will announce that it's going to cut its prices on core brands like Lay's and Doritos by up to 15% following a consumer backlash against several previous price hikes. Now, I think that may be true, but is it also possibly true that people aren't eating that anymore, especially everybody's on a GLP-1 something or other?
Yeah, they lost their appetites.
Certain things, my understanding is that also when you take these things, certain product, like alcohol, for example, for some people, they just don't desire it anymore. Or they're not able to drink as much anymore. And maybe a salty chip or a spicy Dorito is something that just doesn't taste good anymore. Is that possible?
That's quite possible.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting investment opportunity to short these companies.
Yeah, they came down a bit, but yeah, I agree.
Junk food.
Yep, junk food out. In the M&A department, Texas Instruments has reached an agreement to buy Silicon Laboratories for about $7.5 billion. It's going to receive about $231 in cash for each share. Needs approval, but probably going to do well. Stock up 51% after the announcement. Stephen Miron leaving his post as chair of the Council of Economic Advisers. He joined in January of 2025, and it was supposed to be a temporary post when he filled the unexpired and term of federal government Adriana Kugler. So he remains on the Fed board now, but he's leaving the Council of Economic Advisers. So this is going to be a big shill in the Fed. That's going to say that no matter what the rate is, it should go lower. It should go lower. It has to go lower. I don't know. Is this a big deal to you? Bad AI.